Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to ENN on the Michael Kay Show. It's sponsored tonight by the All-American Ford Auto Group. Shop the largest and best Ford group in the Northeast at allamericanford.net. All-American Ford has the largest selection and best prices with locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant, New Jersey. We'll start off tonight by saying good evening to Michael.
People tell me things.
And then we'll say good evening to Don.
Oh, jeez. Oh, no.
And now, without any further ado, Don and I present the top five Will Ferrell movies of all time. And I'll tell you some of the factors that went into this. We thought about his individual performance. We thought about how good the movie was. And we thought about how important the role that he played was in that movie.
Right.
You know, that takes Wedding Crashers
that's
out.
That's right.
That's correct.
That angered some people, including our producer.
But he
Andrew
stole
Gunling.
The movie.
Maybe so, but first of all, I think that's overstating it. I think he was great, but anyways, number five on this list is not the funniest movie of Will Ferrell's, but it is the most probably culturally long-term significant, because this movie will be aired on Christmas from now until eternity, and that would be Elf.
Love it.
Of course you do.
I wanted the other guys, but I understand it's not as culturally significant as Elf.
I think you have to put Elf in there because it's so big for everything about him. Number four and number three, there's some controversy about switching them. But as it stands right now, we have Step Brothers at number four.
Very fair.
And Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby, at number three.
Now,
What is the controversy there?
I wanted Step Brothers to be ahead of Talladega Nights. I think Step Brothers is very, very underrated. I laugh out loud that entire movie.
I think Talladega Nights is better. Step Brothers is great.
I love both. For me, what probably puts Talladega Nights, there's so many great things about both.
I can't even believe that you have Step Brothers ahead of Elf.
Oh, but Step Brothers is so much funnier than Elf. I mean,
Elf is very, very good.
But it's not laugh out loud funny, though.
So many activities! It's just my head spin how many activities we can do.
It's Elf feels good. It's a wonderful Christmas movie, but I'm not, you know, you're not smoking on the old Boubange with your friends and sitting around and popping on Elf. You know what I'm saying, Don?
That's what I feel.
So number three, Talladega Nights. I mean, for me, the dinner scenes with Grandpa and the kids are really what put that over the top.
But he does have a significant comedic actor in that movie with him.
Yeah.
Sacha Baron Cohen also shares some of that spotlight.
In Talladega Nights?
Yeah.
Well, so does that. I mean,
you don't think so?
No, of course. But what about Step Brothers? It's called a co-star.
I understand
Actually,
that, but he's not
the
a
same co-star
I mean,
in both.
He has been in comedic roles, John C. Reilly, but
he plays he's the.
I understand that, but Sacha Baron Cohen. We're talking about funny,
but Sacha Baron Cohen. Well, anyway, let's move on.
This is what we debate.
Let's move on. And these two, you could swap. I have no problem with it. Ultimately, the decision was made based on the amount of screen time he gets in each. Number two would be Old School. And, of course, it becomes clear now. Number one would be Anchorman.
Actually, I'm not even mad. That's amazing.
And there you have it, my beautiful handwriting right there on the screen.
Isn't that nice?
So everyone has it, the Will Ferrell movies list, Elf 5, Step Brothers 4, Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby 3, Old School 2, Anchorman 1.
Are you okay with that? Maybe the biggest Will Ferrell fan.
Come on, everybody!
Is Andrew. Are you okay with that list?
So I actually don't like Elf.
I've never been into it. When it's on, I don't watch it.
Yeah, wow. You don't like Christmas.
I'm in the same.
Oh,
I'm,
good, you know what?
No, I love the holiday season. I love Christmas movies. That's a movie I just don't really love.
You refuse to have a Christmas tree in your house, so you're not that big of a Christmas fan.
Well, I'm Jewish. It would be
odd for me to have a
Christmas
tree. I understand, so you would not like Elf.
But just take the Elf.
But do you love?
But I love, there's plenty of Christmas movies. It's a Wonderful Life is one of my favorite movies.
I kind of agree with Andrew, not to the extent, but I'm kind of on that same boat with you.
But It's a Wonderful Life is not a Christmas movie.
Christmas of Jazz?
It's just set at Christmas.
Great. No, because that's a whole other debate.
I love Home Alone. I love Santa Claus. There's plenty of other ones.
That's probably my least favorite Will Ferrell movie. I don't connect with it the way you do, but you can't ignore its significance.
Well, can I just break in for 1 second? Jeff Passan just tweeted out, Major League Baseball will join the NBA and NHL in closing clubhouses to media due to the fear over potential spread of coronavirus, sources tell ESPN. And just a quick aside, Major League Baseball players are celebrating.
I know.
And this will never change again. This is, once it's closed, it's closed.
You think so?
I brought that up over the weekend, and some people laughed at me that they'll do this. This will be the way it is through the rest, all season.
Yep.
They won't change it because why would we change it? We've been doing it for 2 months, whatever. And then somebody, will they do it next year? Well, it works so well in 2020.
Yeah, everyone's so
this
happy.
Is the way it's going forward. And I see both sides of it. The one thing that gets lost here, and this is an argument I had with somebody on Saturday, is, you know, that one reporter that wants to do the story about the backup catcher, you know, you're not going to get that intimate one-on-one with the, because you bring out the stars after every game. You know, it's going to be easy. Let's just bring out the guy that hit the game-winning home run, starting pitcher, whatever. But there are going to be stories that maybe one guy wants to talk to. Will I still be able to have access to that one guy that I want to do a story about or a feature about? Will that kind of get lost?
I will tell you, my start in this business was as a writer. I would never have ascended to this level if I couldn't work a clubhouse and talk to players when I needed to talk to them. This changes the entire dynamic. This is something that players have long wanted. They don't want the media in the clubhouse when they're getting ready for a game. Look at football. Football doesn't allow it.
Now, I want to know, nobody's been able to answer this.
By the way, how
it's an hour.
And how many people?
Well, Yankee Stadium, on any given day, you could have 40, 50 people in there.
That's actually a lot of people, though.
Now, again, the way it's going to work is after the game, they bring the stars up. What I want to know is, how do you have a conversation before the game? What are they going to do at practice? Like in an NBA or NHL practice, are they going to have the same thing? Bring out a few. You're not going to have the stars of practice. Bring out just the guys you request? Or is they're going to completely shut down? I can't go into the room and practice.
The batting cage? You're not going to be able to go to the batting cage and talk to
people? You're probably not going to be allowed on the field. Why would you be allowed on the field, Michael? That's where the players are. So I'm assuming that there'll be no access to the field. Again, this is not a baseball issue, but I'm sure football is going to do the same thing. You get a lot of stuff like after practice.
You know what? You know what's fugazi about the whole thing? Is that if they do that and the building is still open to fans, the message is just basically like, players are so much more important than the fans who watch them.
And also,
they can't even interact with the media, but 40,000 people can sit next to each other to watch them.
This is something, too. So the media is the unwashed? They're the only ones that are carrying this?
Right.
The players might not be carrying it?
Well, you kind of have to shut down. Like, you probably can't get autographs from players during batting practice anymore. You're going to have to shut down. You're going to be like KISS, shut down the meet and greets, right? I mean, if you're worried about the spread of the virus to the players, then you just can't make it about the media. Then you're going to have to make it about everyone. And that's where everybody kind of loses. But, again, we have the same conversation as people out there. Oh, poor media can't get access. Okay, then stop asking about, like, information.
Right. Well, what did he feel about that play? Well, we don't know. We didn't talk to him.
You know, this is – and a lot of that information, Michael, again, I can't speak to baseball because there's not quote-unquote practices. But in football, basketball, and hockey, the large majority of information you get are before and after practice. What are they going to do practice? Because that would be hypocritical if you allow them in the room during after practice, but not after game.
So
where do you?
Was this all we got from the man?
What Jeff Passan said.
So Rob Manfred has talked to all the owners and about this coronavirus situation, and the only thing they came up with was get rid of the media.
I bet you there's contingency plans, too, like if it gets worse.
It just seems, I don't know.
A couple people on Twitter, very unhappy, Blaze of Glory left out.
Well, guess you should be upset with yourself for having such a bad opinion.
It doesn't belong in the top five.
Andrew, you have no problem with Blades of Glory not being there, right?
No, it wouldn't be a mine. I wanted to give one other shout out to one that doesn't often get thought of. I thought Will Ferrell as Jacobin Mugatu in Zoolander was fantastic.
Oh, yeah, a lot of people feel strongly about Ferrell and Zoolander.
But it comes down to airtime, too. Like, yeah, just the FaceTime in the movie.
And I'm with Michael. Wedding Crashers would be in my top five. Every moment he speaks in that movie is hilarious.
How many times does he speak? Three?
But, like, every
the wink when he says to the weird brother at the end, it closed the movie.
But it's really – but how deep in the movie are you before they go to the house? Like, an hour 90, and a half into the movie?
It's
you know what? He hijacked the movie. Hijacked.
But you hijack it, but you have to have some sense of whether you're enjoying the movie or not through the first hour and a half.
It was like an event when he appeared on screen, the way the music, like, built up and they reveal him coming down the stairs and it's Will Ferrell. Like, there was, like, a gasp in the theater.
How about Andrew? What are your thoughts on Stranger Than Fiction?
It wouldn't be in my top five. Really close.
What about Melinda and Melinda?
That, you know, I'm actually not familiar with
the Woody Allen Melinda. Vehicle.
No, nah,
starting a Woody Allen movie. No one here saw it?
No.
Yeah.
Also, one
very good.
Wouldn't make my top five, but also receiving votes would be Semi Pro. He has a few amazingly hilarious moments in that movie.
There are funny moments in Semi Pro. As a whole movie, though, it just doesn't fully hold up. The other guys are very good too. To Don's point.
Getting back to the coronavirus stuff?
We're talking about the important issues.
So, you can't go in the clubhouse, right? I want to see any pitcher out on that mound lick their fingers. I want to see it. You can do that, but you can't talk to the unwashed masses. You're going to lick your fingers because they all lick their fingers on the mound, every one of them.
And then touch the ball.
Yeah. Let's see that. Let's see.
By the way, you know that ball is dirty.
Filthy.
Touching everyone's hands.
It's rubbed up by other people with mud. So somebody in the umpire's room is rubbing up each baseball. Is that person going to be cleared?
And then, you know, not just licking the fingers, Michael, but you know, usually in the first month of the season when in the cold weather you're allowed blowing to just go to your mouth, blowing on your hands.
So we got to talk some about the Nets.
Don't tell us what to talk about.
The exit of Kenny Atkinson.
He's kind of telling himself what to talk about.
First, let's hear from Sean Marks. How much did KD and Kyrie factor into the decision to say goodbye to Kenny Atkinson?
Same way the rest of all 17 players factored into it. So I've just got done talking to them all now and updating them.
DeAndre Jordan echoing that sentiment, saying the new guys did not push Atkinson out.
Yeah, I'm close to Kyrie, but, you know, Wilson's a new player. Garrett Temple's a new player. You know, we're all new players. So if you go say new players, put it on all eight of the new players.
Okay, so then there's been some...
But I think whatever you're saying and whatever the reports are, so...
I will say what I said earlier in the show. Whoever admits to a murder, I don't care how much they deny it. That doesn't mean that it took place or it did. But just because they said it doesn't mean anything. Absolutely nothing.
What if one of them swore on their mother's grave? Does that put
that would mean something to me.
There you go.
You know, and there's also the semantics world, by the way, where it's just you send out the vibe you don't like them. You never came out and said fire them, but it's just known throughout the facility that you don't get along with them.
Well, here's something that Jared Allen? Oh, Joe Harris. Dealing with a young up-and-coming team is much different than coaching superstar players. A much different dynamic. What superstar player did he coach? Kyrie for 24 games.
No.
Hasn't even coached Durant for a moment.
No.
And now do you want to say that DeAndre Jordan's a superstar? I don't think he's a superstar. So what are they talking about? So if Joe Harris makes that point, it's not about the players that they had before. It's about superstars.
And we never heard anything. Like, I never heard one fan complain about Kenny Atkinson. Never heard one media report that he's losing the team. This kind of came out of nowhere. If anything, we thought this was probably the most secure coach that was out in the tri-state area because of the job that he had done. One more postscript for the corona, Mike. I don't know if you saw this Andrew Baggerly tweet. Andrew Baggerly covers the San Francisco Giants. He retweeted Jeff Passan about his report. If true... This is not a sensible precaution. This is brain dead, simple minded, follow the leader, fear paralyzed, suspension of reason BS. Although he didn't say BS.
Well, Joel Sherman wrote tweeted, once other leagues decided to restrict media from clubhouses, MLB was not going to fly in the face of that. And MLB quakes in fear of the Baseball Writers Association.
Well, listen, Andrew Baggerly's entitled to his opinion, but how would the Baseball Writers Association look fighting this?
You're right. They're in a bad situation. You're absolutely right.
I mean, you got to do, you could say, well, it's follow the leader, but how would you then look if the first professional athlete to contract the virus was a baseball player? And they were the only sport that allowed the media in the room.
Here's a question I have for you guys. It's a little more personal. I think in all likelihood, I'll say no to the London trip, but I wanted to go away. I had a plan to go away this specific weekend. I'd like to. Do you think, I know Michael has weighed in already, Don, that he's going with the advice that he got about no travel whatsoever unless it's for work. My fear is less about getting sick from the travel and more about the idea of being in another country and all right. of a sudden the reports come in that it's heightening and the airport's getting crazy and then Boris Johnson comes out and is like, no one's traveling. That's what scares me. So my question is, do you think it's less a more reasonable proposition to travel domestically?
Well, that was one of the reasons that we didn't bring the kids down here, because if you got quarantined down here, I'd rather they be quarantined at home.
You mean if someone quarantines, if someone comes in and goes,
oh, you know, the hotel you're staying in, there was somebody tested positive. No one from the hotel can leave.
But that hasn't happened.
No, that hasn't happened,
but it's happened on ships.
Yeah, but ships are different because they've got a port someplace.
Well, it happened in Italy.
And the close contact you have in a ship is different than in a hotel room. I think the likelihood is small at this particular rate. But as far as like, oh, I don't want to go to the airport. I don't want to be on a flying tube with the germs. I'm sorry. I live and work with people. I open doors to delicatessens, right? I mean, you interact with people. I go to Madison Square Garden to cover the Rangers. I mean, how is that any different than an airport or being on a plane?
And some of the people we work with at the station, the most filthy, disgusting, unkempt people you'll ever want to see.
It's a great point, Eddie. Now, I have a question. You're on a domestic flight.
Right.
You go in mask?
I did not wear a mask today, although I had one. I couldn't bring myself to do it.
Really?
You
brought one?
That guy.
You brought one and couldn't do it?
Yeah.
See, this is where we need, reliable information. Is the mask helping when you don't have it, or is it helping when you do have it to then not spread it to somebody?
I, even though they say the main purpose of it is to not spread it to others, you can get it from spit ending up in your mouth. So it's still...
Well, I mean, the only guy that would have trouble with that is Joey.
Right, Joey Salvia.
Why?
Joey Saliva.
No, because he made out with somebody
on
the plane.
He made out with
a
person on a plane.
It's a great point.
I mean, there's really no gray area there.
Well, I don't think the mask would get in the way there.
Now, if I had the mask like Jim Carrey had, I would have worn.
Now, he may have had protection, but he didn't have a mask on.
All right. You know what?
Geico has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
What a weekend for the Lakers. They beat the Bucks first, then they beat the Clippers, and JaVale McGee has called his team, quote, the best team in the world right now. He said it was very important to quiet the doubters. The Lakers show's the best team in the world. This came after the victory on Sunday. Patrick Beverly, on the flip side of that coin, had some interesting thoughts about guarding LeBron James. He was adamant about it being no challenge to guard LeBron, it being, quote, not hard at all. Let's hear from Patrick Beverly.
No challenge. But particularly the end of the game. No challenge.
Can you describe what it's like as a defender to when he tries to force the switch?
Not hard at all. Guard?
Not just silly.
You're trying too hard, Pat.
Yeah. Now, are they basing this whole thing because they beat the Bucks? And the Clippers?
And the Clippers, both.
No, that was a pretty good weekend.
No, it's a very good weekend.
Are
the Nets better than the Sixers? I mean, because, not the Sixers, the Raptors, because they ended their winning streak? I mean, In a couple of days, you can beat a couple of teams.
The Lakers have had a great season.
No, they have had a great season, but are you prepared to say they're better than the Bucks because they just happened to beat them? Clippers, I think they were probably better than anyway. But
I
the Bucks,
think they could be better than the Bucks. I really do.
Yeah, I think so, too. What was that, because, the Bucks' ninth loss of the year?
You know, Giannis is great, but you look at it player for player. I mean, is their second person as good as Anthony Davis? No, not even close. So, and maybe the Lakers would have just as many wins as the Bucks if they play in the Eastern Conference. So, no, I think the Lakers are better than the Bucks.
I mean, and what do you do when they beat the Bucks on Friday night? LeBron was 37, 8 assists, 8 boards, 12 of 21 from the floor, 12 of 15 from the stripe.
Anthony Davis,
30 points, 9 rebounds for AD. They do that, they're going to be very problematic.
I guess this has to do with what your financial situation is. Mm-hmm. But the New York Post just tweeted out a story. Human lab rats are needed. Would you get infected with coronavirus for $4,500 as they're trying to develop a vaccine?
But here's the question. What then has to happen after you get the coronavirus?
They give you $4,500.
That's it? They don't do anything. They're not trying anything to help you.
They're gonna try a vaccine. So they're gonna give you a vaccine, and then they'll give you coronavirus to see if it took.
But what are the concerns around the vaccine?
I'm just telling you, $4,500.
Is that the number that's out there?
Yeah,
it was horrifying.
No, I would not do that.
I think RJ would do it. He's planning a wedding.
RJ,
$500 looks pretty good.
I don't know. I might not make it.
RJ's a small man. It could be the end.
This could really go sideways.
Yeah, but they say children can handle it.
Oh, wow.
Josh, took the low-hanging fruit there.
Josh Norman to the Bills. $6 million plus incentives. I got a tweet today from some sports person in Buffalo saying, I know you're a Redskins fan. What do you think about Josh Norman at this point? And I said he can actually surprisingly tackle better than you think he could, but he's not capable of guarding people on his own. I mean, if he's on an island, he's finished. Go ahead.
Doug McDermott was his coach in Carolina.
Yep.
So I think that it's a smart play by him.
Why not? Yeah, I mean, why not? If you're Buffalo and you're a couple pieces away.
I'm not Doug. Doug's a basketball player.
Or Dylan McDermott, but you might as well give him a shot.
Or Dermot Dalrooney, whatever. We're going to need a drop.
No, I wasn't even thinking about that.
Dermot Mulrooney.
There you go. You're close.
Thanks.
Champions League game going to be played without fans on Wednesday in Paris. PSG versus Dortmund.
You can throw out the records when those two teams meet.
France has been, by the way, you don't use that often. The last week you've used it like 8 times. I'm really here for it. Funny
and
each
you
time.
Laugh every
I
time.
Love it. It's a great line. France has banned gatherings of more than 1,000 people, so that is not going to happen there. Now, Andrew, is it true that the Italian league has been just canceled for a month?
I guess suspended right now, yeah.
So, yep. No surprise, considering everything in northern Italy has been suspended.
But everybody's concerned, but Danny's son, the doctor.
No, as long as Danny's son's... My favorite part about that was not that, like, his son has an opinion, of course he does, but that it was law. Danny was adamant that there's nothing to worry about.
His son's a doctor, and it has no concern whatsoever.
That's it. All you need is Danny's son, and you're all set. Michael Barry Bonds says that baseball has given him a death sentence and that his heart has been broken by Major League Baseball. The Athletic published a story saying these comments less than 2 months after the 7-time MVP got 60.7% of the vote at the Hall of Fame. He needs 75%. To get in, he said, if they don't want me, just say you don't want me and be done with it. Just be done with it. I think that's a bad guy move.
What's a bad guy move?
The cry.
I mean, what does he expect to happen? Even if you read the story, it was by previously mentioned Andrew Baggerly in The Athletic.
Mm-hmm.
The guy admitted, you know, I wasn't a great guy to people. So not only did he allegedly cheat, but he treated the people that are going to garner whether it gets good coverage or not like complete trash. Treated people like absolute trash. And now you're going to say, oh, they've given me the death sentence. Yeah, they did.
Here's my question, though. Honestly, steroids or not, Is Barry Bonds a Hall of Famer?
Well, he was a great player before steroids.
Yes.
So was Roger Clemens.
Clemens not being in is a total joke.
But why is it Bonds? Bonds has 762 home runs.
If one's a joke, the other one has to be just equal a joke.
No, because Clemens' game didn't completely change post-steroids. Bonds, while he was great on the Pirates, when he became roided Barry, he literally doubled his home run totals. Roger Clemens was insane in 1985.
Yeah, he was
insane. No. Before he became a free agent, he was a shot pitcher. Then he went to Toronto, and all of a sudden, he won two straight Cy Young. So
No.
He had fallen off a great deal. He was a different pitcher in Toronto.
But I agree, but he'd already demonstrated the skills that he had. He was brought back to life by steroids. Barry Bonds he went from a 35 to 40, low 40s home run hitter he hit 73 home runs.
No, I know.
And by the way,
they continued on the path with the Pirates. Same sort of player. First ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I think they should both be in.
I don't know if I agree with that.
You don't have to.
Because if you're a really good person your whole life and had that one bad day and you kill somebody, I'm sorry, you go to jail.
But is what he did in this version, as he put it, death penalty?
But there's a lot of people
He's allowed to work in baseball. Pete Rose has a death penalty. He doesn't. He did that interview. He works for the Giants. He's in spring training with the Giants. The death penalty he means is because he's not in the Hall of Fame.
That's a good point. Don, it's over for Tremaine Johnson and the New York Jets.
Yeah.
I know.
Don, don't be so shaken up. He's gone.
Well, I don't think any Jet fan is either.
Let's hear from Rich.
That was a bad signing.
Let's hear from Rich Cimini.
The bigger takeaway is that another cautionary tale on the pitfalls of free agency. 2 years ago, the Jets were desperate for a cornerback, and they gave Johnson a 5-year deal that included $34 million guaranteed at signing. It made him the second highest paid corner in the league. Now look, he was a good player for the Rams. Actually, he got franchise tagged a couple of times, but he wasn't a great player, not an elite player, never made a Pro Bowl. But the Jets were blinded by their desperation, and they dramatically overpaid. Teams do it all the time in free agency, and then a year or two later, they'll regret it. Now Johnson's gone, the Jets have another hole at corner, and they have a huge cap hit on top of it all.
Sums it up pretty well. Andrew was making the argument before the show, is this the worst Jets free agent signing of all time?
It's right up there. I mean, he didn't do anything here.
It was horrifying.
The Cowboys,
that never doesn't get me.
I know. The Cowboys have sent a new contract proposal to Dak Prescott. There was a conversation recently between the Cowboys upper management and Todd France, Prescott's agent, that supposedly was positive. Here's Adam Schefter on the Will Cain Show on the Cowboys' mindset about Dak.
We're the Dallas Cowboys. You're the quarterback of America's team. You should be honored to have this position. We've helped elevate your value to get you yogurt ads and marketing campaigns and make you all sorts of money and make you basically the face of the most popular franchise in sports. That's worth a lot.
Absolutely.
So you should be taking our $105 million.
You idiot.
You read my mind, RJ. And lastly,
Dermot Dalrooney, whatever.
No, really, lastly, this is interesting, guys. The word on the street, and that is throughout football.
It's a street word.
Yeah. Is that Tua Tagovailoa had his 4-month scan on his dislocated hip, and supposedly the look is that everything looks very good with no concerns. It's as positive a review as possible.
Football.
And Don, we were talking about a little bit off the air. This could really change the draft. If he looks great and everyone says he's really progressing, and you're the Redskins and you're not sure about Dwayne Haskins, yeah, do you pass the guy who people were just saying was like the best college quarterback of all time?
Well, this is big for the Giants because it ups their percentage of getting Chase Young. Now it's only one team that has to pass on him, not two. And the other thing is the Redskins get Tagovailoa. They don't get Young, so you don't have Young in the division, have to face him twice a year. So if you whiff on him, or he ends up in Detroit, not nearly as bad as if he ends up in Washington. So Tagovailoa clearing and the possibility of the Redskins taking him, I think, is good news for New York.
Well, hold on. But on the flip side, what if Tagovailoa turns out to be as great as everybody thinks? Then you have to face him twice a year.
Yeah, but it wasn't a need. You weren't going to be taking Tagovailoa.
Right. You won that dumb game against the Redskins for no reason, and that's why you don't have Chase Young. But if they have Tagovailoa, who cares?
I guess what you're saying from a comparison standpoint, you don't feel as bad about it.
Right.
But if the Redskins do some, if Tagovailoa turns out to be the guy people thought he was a year ago, that's not the guy you want to play twice a year either.
No.
Now, he'd be going to the Redskins, so we all know how it will turn out. No, not good. That'll do it for ENN on this Monday evening. What do you guys think about the first iPencil, ENN?
Really good.
It's nice, but it's unnecessary. It's gratuitous.
Look at the highlighting I was able to do on my stories.
I don't get it.
I mean, it was tremendous.
You must have a lot of disposable income.
You know what? Get out of my pockets. Get right out of my pockets.
Wow. 1-800-919-3776. We'll take you till 7 o'clock. At what point? I hope that Carlin finds this studio.
He knows where the station is still.
4.5 weeks he hasn't worked.
No, we saw him earlier. He made it here. He's only here 3.5 hours early today.
He does prepare.
Oh, my God.
He's the anti-Peter.
Yeah, he's here hours and hours early. Beautiful.
All right, we'll take some phone calls. Got a lot of stuff to hit on. Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.